T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Super wild card weekend from Highmark Stadium.
The Patriots can mess around and go to the Super Bowl.
Telling you, folks, it's staring you right in the face. If you don't believe it,
there's no doubt in my mind that this team can transform and compete and beat any team in the NFL.
They have a chance to contend for it all.
This team could compete for a Super Bowl, I think. I think other than Tennessee, I don't see any team that's clearly better than the Patriots right now.
And here we go.
It was all a
false start. Offense number 47. 5-yard penalty. Still first down.
The fullback. Jakob Johnson called on the false start.
Illegal contact. Defense, number 54. Grasping the face mask. Defense, 95. 15-yard penalty. Automatic first down.
Play clock at zero.
Offense. 12 players in the huddle. Offense. 5-yard penalty.
New England, who does not want this to be a track meet, they've got to come back with an answer quickly. Downfield drops. Bolden, who has been so rock solid. Wide open. Touchdown, Emmanuel Sanders. Jawan Williams, number 33. Not only did he peek into the backfield the entire way while playing zone, he slowed his feet about 10 yards into the route.
That's chicken broth in there. Get that chicken broth in there to keep you warm on this sideline.
Knox, stiff arm, major touchdown by Dawson Knox along the sideline.
Oh, my goodness.
They got Adrian Phillips. One from Bailey, Micah Hyde. Let's it back. Micah Hyde down the sideline. Remember we said New England did not want this to become a track meet? Stardust pistol has been fired.
If you don't believe it, you need to. You need to.
Oh, my God. It was all a dream.
I wish. It was. It feels like a dream, doesn't it,
Lou? Well, happy Monday, everybody. I don't know. Martin Luther King Day. I don't know if you guys are all sitting at home. We haven't gone to work. Whatever you have to do. We are here to hear you vent about this game that we all witnessed at Saturday night up in Buffalo. What do you say, Foye?
Hey, Lou, how you doing, buddy?
Holy smokes.
Yeah, it did. Honest to God, good job. Like, it felt like a dream. Like, it felt like it was just, you just woke up and were like, wow, did that really happen? It's like having a good dream, and then you're just about to get to the good part, and somebody wakes you up. Like, that was terrible. That was pathetic. That was ugly. That was embarrassing. I don't even know how many more cliches or adjectives you can use to describe what happened on Saturday night, Lou. I don't know what else you could say. Like, it's like exactly, it's like the, if you were to say, okay, give me the worst case scenario, that wouldn't even be close to what I thought would be the worst case scenario.
No, I mean, I don't know. Where do you want to start? Brett Coleman on Twitter, the Buffalo Bills just had NFL's first ever perfect offensive game. No punts, no picks. No fumbles lost, no field goals. All touchdowns on every single drive until the kneel down.
And then guess
and they did it against a top five defense. That was the tweet.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a perfect game.
Yeah. Mitchell Trubisky gets into the game. And I don't even know why Sean McDermott did this. If I really want to drive it home, I'm letting Josh Allen at least take the kneel down so he gets to stay on the field.
Did someone tell Josh Allen it was going to be 7 degrees or 1 degree and -7? Remember Josh Allen struggles in the cold? Like Josh Allen, the guy that has no circulation in his toes.
And maybe he took Viagra.
Not sure what he's going to be wearing underneath. Maybe one pair of socks. I don't know. I don't know how crazy I'm going to get. But no, nobody told me this guy sucks on the road. Because he threw over 80% of his passes, 300 plus yards, 50 plus yards, and 5 TDs. This is, again, Shield Capadia. I don't know, on Twitter. We can go through them all day long. No quarterback during the Super Bowl era has ever done all of those things in a single game, regular season or playoffs. It was a historic game. For your Buffalo Bills. So on
and
the
you.
Flip side, it was a historically embarrassing, arguably the most embarrassing loss under Bill Belichick. And I know what the Bills actually was. That game you were in, 31-0.
Yeah.
As far as like
that
biggest, the 31-point loss.
First week of the season.
But this one here, the most embarrassing thing, I think guaranteed people out there that hate the New England Patriots are watching this thing on Saturday night, loving every single minute of it. Like, hope, praying to God. They love the fact that they're throwing touchdown passes to offensive linemen. They love the fact they didn't slow down. They just kept trying to score.
Hey, God bless them. Finally, right? All the years of frustration and feeling like a second-class citizen, I'm sure you feel pretty, pretty good, and you should be.
Was there a moment when you knew that this thing was over?
Oh, yeah. I knew.
When?
Funny you should ask.
When was it?
Okay, so I thought that it was over when Brandon Bolden dropped the first pass that he was throwing. Great.
First down. Jones from midfield. Put some zip on it. Downfield drops. Bolden, who has been so rock solid catching the football, had a career year in the receiving category, could not bring it in.
Could not ask for a better opportunity. Something we anticipated going into the game. First down throws from Mac Jones to try and loosen up the defense a little bit and not run up against a brick wall. And when you have a shot like that, you've got to complete it. Brandon Bolden won't drop.
He caught everything.
But that was a big one.
Bolden caught everything all year long.
Everything. And not that it was, it just felt like when that happens, when one of your most reliable players drops a ball that is literally, basically, it only would have been easier if they handed it to him. Here, take this. Like, in slow motion. So, like, it's a priceless, like, you know, work of art. Don't drop it. Like, it's a newborn baby. Be real careful. That's how that throw was. There was no wind. There was no rain. There was no sleet or no snow. Okay? And you dropped that ball. I swear to God, I just ordered McDonald's.
Game over?
I ordered McDonald's, and I had taken all the food out of the bag, and the bag was sitting right at my feet where I was sitting and watching the game. He dropped the ball. I stood up, and I kicked the freaking bag of McDonald's all the way across the room because it just had that feel of, and I love McDonald's, okay? It had that feel of, like, it doesn't matter how much you've tried or how hard you worked. Like, it ain't going
to
work.
No, just going into that game, like, he had, like, it was 43 targets to Brandon Bolden. He caught 37 of them. Like, he catches everything. We bitched early on that once he catches, he's too slow. He was actually did a really nice job for you this year. So you say it was that Brandon Bolden drop. Was it in the very next play on when Jonnu Smith made that great defensive play and broke up the pass to Jacoby Myers? Was it that play too?
Yeah.
Nice pass to Myers, but great defensive play by Jonnu Smith as you jumped up and tipped it away from him. That was fantastic. You know what I thought they lost?
But that was another example.
Yeah, you know what I thought they lost? When I found out they won the toss and deferred. Like, that might have been the moment where I said,
okay,
so maybe that wasn't it. I mean, because it wasn't, I'll tell you, it wasn't on the interception in the end zone.
No.
Because they moved the football. You sat there and said, okay, you threw a pick, but you moved the ball right down the field. Okay.
And then they come back and move the ball down.
14-0. It might have been 4th-and-1. And I don't even know. Like, I'm just saying, at what point would it have made it 21-0? Or was it a 20-0, I should say, or 27-0? I mean, it was an embarrassment.
You know what you should
It was an absolute embarrassment. And I never thought Josh Allen in the cold, it was like, that's going to be their friend. He can't go out there and play like Superman in that cold weather. 7 degrees or minus 7 degrees, he's not going to be as sharp. And he was lights out, like absolutely.
Can I give you one?
I'm just saying, you now have a Josh Allen problem.
Because I was going to say,
big Josh Allen.
If you
problem.
Want a legitimate one, I'll let you borrow this one. This is the other one that I thought was pretty
fourth and
good.
One, fourth and eight. You tell me. When they just punted on the game.
No. Here, how about this one? It's 2nd and 10. The very first series of the Bills. It's 2nd and 10, and the Bills are driving. Josh Allen, he decides he's going to scramble because there's nothing there. And he scrambles for 26 yards, makes Matthew Judon look like a third grader stuck in the mud, and he goes for 26 yards. So the whole week, all they were trying to do was make sure that they contain Josh Allen. Don't let him run. Don't let him scramble. Okay, he'll get some yards, but let's minimize the damage. The very first opportunity you have, Matthew Judon drops back into coverage. He jammed the wide receiver, knocked him down. Great. That's no longer an option. What does Josh Allen do? Takes the ball, tucks it and run. What does Matthew Judon do? He runs up to make the tackle, squares up his feet. He's got him right in his crosshairs. Josh Allen literally made one move and went right by him.
Oh my God.
For 26 yards. So the one thing you were worried about, the very first opportunity you have to stop him, you fall flat on your face.
Like, I don't even know where to start with this team, and we'll get to a lot of it. We'll get to some of the decisions this team made or looking back on this season. But, you know, losing that football game up in Buffalo, you know, like, listen, I don't think it's an embarrassment to lose a game up in Buffalo, you know, to a better team. But to lose the way they did, Like you're watching the rest of the games, and there were some non-competitive games, but still there was a touch of fight like in all of them. Bad teams actually forced. Like I saw Kansas City and Tampa actually punt. You know, I saw them actually break up a pass. Yeah, and this game here, like something was weird about it. Like something's wrong about that loss. Like it looked like they quit. It looked like they 100%
that did quit
on that team.
Yep.
Made business decisions. I don't know whether it was off season or whatever it was, but you don't fall apart and lose a football game like that and just say, "Well, they're better than us." Do you? How do you lose that kind of game and say, "Oh, they're just better than us"? No. No, they took your soul. But
even
they took
with
everything
that,
from
no,
you.
No, it seemed like sometime in the third quarter, there were definitely some people, J.C. Jackson being one of them, who flat out, and I can maybe understand why J.C. Jackson was like, screw this, I got a big contract, I got a big payday coming, I'm done with this. But I feel like you add the beatdown, the cold weather, the fans, there's a lot of times it felt like all the thing that was missing was, hey, 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 goodbye.
No, they got that in too.
Oh, they did? The I didn't hear that. Absolutely. Oh, I did see a phallic symbol thrown on the field.
Yes.
They worked that in there. So you really had the trifecta.
But you got to go back to we talked about this football game. And it was like, okay, number one, you're walking up there and you got Bill Belichick. Okay, so the cold weather's on your side. You'll be the more physical team. You got an offensive line. You got a running game. Be the more physical team. You know, hit somebody. You know, they're built on speed. Their linebackers run through them. You're built on power. Hit everybody. And we couldn't be further from the truth of really what happened when you look at it.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, the coaching? Like, Bill, like, this game, again, historic. Like, Belichick, I don't think he ever allowed 19 first downs in the first half. In the first half.
300 yards of offense.
300 yards. But 19 first downs, never been done against Bill Belichick in the first half.
I feel like we've heard that a lot this year.
4 touchdowns in the first half. Never been done against a Bill Belichick team in the first half. Ever. Ever. Like so the advantage of coaching, like that team wasn't ready to play. The toughness, that team wasn't ready to play. Like all of it. Like they weren't ready to go. They got completely walked over. Like, just walked over.
You're being
over.
Too...
Like
I really think you're
walked.
Being...
They didn't
I think,
run
I think
over. They too slowly just walked over them.
You're being too play. There's a famous play with Kobe Bryant making a shot over Derek Fisher. No, was it Derek? No, it was not Derek Fisher.
They should have left
No,
at
who was the coach for the Cavaliers that won a championship with LeBron James?
Mike Brown?
Ty Lue. So there's a famous play where Kobe Bryant makes a shot, and then Ty Lue, I forgot who he was playing with, falls to the ground. And then Kobe Bryant, like, literally walks right, steps over him.
Yeah.
Steps over him.
Okay.
As if, like, an ultimate sign of disrespect. To me, that's being too polite. Like, you're talking about you just walked over him, stepped all over him. No.
Slowly.
You would have to pants them or give them a Melvin, stick a pacifier in their mouth. I don't know. You know, do whatever you can to embarrass them and then walk over them. That's basically what happened. Like, we've been saying this all year. First time ever for a Bill Belichick team. Hell, we did that in against the Cowboys, over 570 yards the first time, and then fill in the blank, and then add Bill Belichick team. Like, that has happened more this year than I can ever remember in 22 years. It's remarkable. All the first times that have happened to Bill on this team, and it's I can't even express, like, I don't even think you have an emotion to express how the players would feel walking off the field. Like, it's just, at that point, you just say, uncle. Like, uncle, you throw in the towel. Throw the damn towel. Like, they couldn't. They couldn't throw in the towel. So they did the best they could, and they got at least a couple points. But, oh, my goodness, was it bad.
I mean, it was, you're talking, what, so it was like 8 touchdown drives. 8 in a row. 8.
Allen Iverson, not
matter.
Kobe Bryant.
It's
important.
8 in a row. So 8 touchdown drives. You know what they were on third down?
100%?
No, they were just 6 of they were 6 of 7.
Yeah, almost 100%.
But my point is, there was only 7 of them. Like, there was only 7.
That's true.
Third downs. Because
they were never in third down. You're right. That's a good point.
They were never in third down.
So there was
only 7. There should be like 12.
Seven.
There should be like 14. Yeah. You know, third down attempts. They only had 7 in 8 drives. They just
and then I would add
walked.
I bet you the average of
right
the third down and distance. Them. Was probably like 3rd and 5 or less.
It was the most pathetic thing. And we said this on Friday, like, you know, when the whole thing, like, if they win, if they lose, like, if this team loses, remember saying, like, if they lose, we might not even be talking about Mac Jones if they lose. And I'm not so sure we are. We'll get to them, but it's not the reason why they lost. It's because of this defense. And holy smokes, what an embarrassment. We'll get to it to the point where, you know, I'm starting to wonder now. We were talking about on Friday, one big question. Is this season a success? I think it's time to rethink that. We'll do that next. Maloney and Foray here on a Friday, listening to you guys vent 617-779-7937 after that embarrassing performance on Saturday night.
Is going down like Velveeta at the dollar store.
Allen turns the corner. He will catch it. Back in the end zone. Touchdown. Catch made. It is Dawson Knox. And the Bills strike first.
First and 10. Just shy of the 10. Fake.
Allen. A laser beam. Dawson Knox. Touchdown. Buffalo.
Second and goal. Buffalo trying to add to its lead.
They can't stop a nosebleed.
Second down and one. Singletary straight ahead. To the outside. Singletary. All the way. Touchdown, Buffalo. Deep downfield. Wide open. Touchdown, Emmanuel Sanders.
Second down and six. Allen.
Touchdown, Gabriel Davis. A Buffalo barrage.
Take it. Allen.
Flips it for the touchdown. It's a big man touchdown.
There you go, Buffalo. You got a playoff victory at home against the hated New England Patriots. 47-17, the final score.
You went sleeves, a little cold, huh?
I went sleeves. I caved in. I think it worked out, though.
Absolutely. Congrats. We'll see you down the road.
Okay. Go Bills.
For Buffalo, this will be talked about for a long, long time up there.
Well, that was a tough one to watch on Saturday night. Did you catch that, by the way, at the end of the game, during all the interviews, they're playing We Are the Champions?
Listen,
they're in Buffalo.
Whatever. Take a victory lap. I don't care. I'm not a ripper for anything. Think about the long history of just despair, and it finally feels like they've arrived.
Wait,
like, that's
just,
what it's
what
go
an
ahead.
Embarrassment.
Act stupid.
By the way, we're the only place in town right now where you can actually react to this defeat. Saturday night, right here, Maloney and Foray, 617-779-7937. When did you think this thing was over? Let's go to Roy in Boston. He's got a moment. What do you say, Roy?
I thought it was over, obviously, when they were down 14-0, and when they came out and ran the ball three straight times and punted it.
Yep.
I was like, wow, this is it right here. Game over. See you later.
Got to establish the run, Roy. Got to get it done. I mean, you got to do it, right? I mean, you got to establish the run.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to, but I mean, three straight times. I mean, you could have threw something in there just to get the people at home at least saying we got a shot. I mean, Mac Jones looked pretty good through the first two drives, and then just running it there just blew my mind.
Roy, I'm with you. Listen, I was joking. I'm with you. And early on, it looked like Mac Jones was like on point, and you're like, okay, I knew the pick, unbelievable catch by Micah Hyde, you know, but still the running. He was, like, taking off, a little dump pass, a little, nice little pass to Hunter Henry. And you're like, okay, your quarterback came ready to play. And then they were just like, no, we got to run the ball still. We still got to run the football.
We got to stay with our philosophy.
Yeah, I didn't get it. It was like, at one point, I'm wondering, okay, so they just want to lose by, like, 30, right? They don't want to lose by 47. They just want to lose by 30. Like, just an utter embarrassment watching that game to the point where I was one of those guys who sat there and said 10-7, playoffs, great draft, good offseason, brought in some guys, some young free agents, you know, that can help you. You know, it was a success. It was a success. And now I have to reevaluate that. I don't know how the hell I can call this season a success after that. You finished the year 10-8. Last year you were 7-9. You had zero talent on your field. You had an awful quarterback. You hit on a rookie quarterback, the least a kid can play. We don't know what he's going to be like. We'll see. You hit on Barmore. You hit on Stevenson. You hit on some of these free agents. You spent almost $200 million in guaranteed dollars. And what did it get you? It got you two more games in the standings. And it got you an embarrassment in a wild card. Shouldn't you have been better than that? Shouldn't you have been able to give me an effort in a wild card? Shouldn't you have had a better football team if all those things happened?
Well, okay, yes.
How was that
one,
a success?
One, it's so that 7-9 to 10-7. Okay, they made the playoffs. You like to throw that extra loss in there to kind of make it more dramatic.
Two and a half games.
So there are three
How
games.
How bad were they last
there are three
year?
Games,
How much more talented was this team?
There are three games above the replacement.
Two and a half games.
Okay, They get three wins.
Yeah, they two more losses.
Okay, so
two less losses.
The point is that if the making the playoffs was the goal, you achieved it. Is if making the playoffs is the next step in the rebuilding process, I challenge you to go look at other teams, Buffalo being one of them, that were starting to rebuild. And when they finally made the playoffs, did they win a playoff game? No. I want to say that the first time they
That's
actually ended up.
No.
Though they actually, who was it? Tyrod Taylor was their quarterback. I think it was like 9-6. The score was against the Houston. It was terrible.
I was at the game. It was 10-7 against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, it was against the Jaguars, and they lost that game. So stop getting all crazy about it. If we're really calling this a rebuild, this is what a rebuild looks like. First step, guys, let's get to the playoffs. They got to the playoffs. Now you know what a playoff team looks like. A high-level, elite, division-winning championship team looks like. That's the Buffalo Bills. If you're in a rebuilding process, I'm sorry. You're not going to do it. This isn't one of these like home makeover shows where the whole house gets redone in 7 days. It takes years of loss and pain and frustration and second-guessing. So if making the playoffs was your goal, of course it's not a failure. It's a success. You made it to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback. Good luck finding a rookie quarterback that can do that. Well, they don't ask him to do anything. He's still a rookie quarterback. Like, there's lots of debate and discussions that we can have. But if you're going to call this a failure, you're just a good old snob, an old-fashioned Patriot snob that isn't happy with anything other than a championship appearance.
Can it land somewhere in the middle? Because I have a real hard time calling it a success by going out and rebuilding through free agency.
And the draft.
I'm just saying, yeah, I know the draft. Yeah, you had three guys that you like. But, you know, rebuilding through free agency, like, that doesn't even match. Like, that doesn't even go together. When you talk about rebuilding, teams don't rebuild through free agency. They get put over the top in free agency. We said this day one when they signed all these guys. You know, everybody that they signed, I said, they got back to even.
Yeah, so, okay, hold on.
They needed free agency to get back to even.
So who cares? Listen, the money is the money. Like, there's a cap. There's a real cap in the NFL. So whether you spend it last year, whatever, you're spending the money. So they spent the money, and give yourself a little pat on the back. So they got to even, which means you got to above 500 team. You didn't this year. You start adding.
They only beat bad teams.
Oh,
they didn't,
here
beat
we
one
go.
Good team in the Chargers.
They don't beat good teams.
Well, Christian, they beat one good football team in the LA Chargers who didn't make the playoffs. Like everybody else, now all of a sudden we're looking back. Did you read Tommy Curran? Tommy Curran on Thursday or Friday sat there and said, "No, we didn't overrate them, and no, they're more like the team that played great in the first seven. They're just playing bad football right now. We didn't overrate them. We were right about them." And then today he wrote, "What do you write? We overrated them." He went back and looked at all those games during a seven-game stretch and said, "Yeah, who did they beat that didn't like lose guys because of injury or lose guys because of COVID? Like, what did they really do? They were a bully." Against bad football teams. They went up against good football teams. They look like this for the most part.
No, they didn't.
Maybe not this bad.
No, they didn't.
But they
look
awful for the most part.
This is the first time they were completely overwhelmed and overmatched. This is the only game the entire year where they got their ass kicked at historic levels. Go back, Tom E. Curran, and look at all the games.
So
and you tell me
to?
When
the
they got up, their ass kicked
know,
like this.
17 games. Really, you can look at it and say, 13 games to kind of get you to a point at the end of the season. And they finished the year playing football the way they did in four of the last five. Or three of the last four. For what? All the buildup, all the hype for this one football game. And it was the most embarrassing defeat maybe in NFL history. And I know that's probably hyperbole. But really, it was the perfect – a football team played a perfect offensive game against you, against your defense, who, by the way, we predicted correctly. The biggest concern is the defense, not Mac Jones, the rookie. It was the defense. I mean, this is how this team was supposed to be built, was on that defense. And don't give me the injuries. Don't give me you didn't have freaking whoever back there.
That's pretty bad.
What, they didn't have Tre'Davious White.
They had you, Tyler, and Ryan back
Whatever.
There playing defense.
They didn't have Tre'Davious White. He got hurt. You didn't have Gilmore because you couldn't. You butchered a freaking negotiations to trade him for a sixth-round pick. So whose fault is that?
See, here's the thing. And after evaluating the whole season, I go to the late, great Dennis Green for my evaluation.
They are who we thought they were.
That's it. At the beginning of the season, everybody has the same information. and you give your prediction and your analysis.
You thought they
based
were
on
what you saw on
no,
Saturday night.
No, no. My
if
point
you
is,
you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
At the beginning of the season, you thought they were just doing enough to get back to even.
Thought that's they'd be 10-7 and miss the playoffs.
That's 3 wins.
They went 10-7. Okay. The rest of the league was worse. They made the playoffs.
Okay, that's 3 wins. You were 3 wins better with all the improvements. Whatever. The fact is, you should bully the crappy teams. You should bully the team because you're better coached and you're just better. You know, you're better taught and you're smarter, even with all their issues. So you back your way. Look at the playoffs. Like, look at the playoffs. Look at the teams that got smoked.
You?
Pittsburgh.
Fought harder than you did.
Whatever. Okay. Fine. Whatever. I mean, the point is that these teams have this record for a reason. Like, they're not great teams. Like, they're borderline average teams that need a lot of luck and lots of extra possessions. So when I sit there and say they are who we thought they were who I thought they were at the very beginning of the season. The problem was, like the whole awesome intro that we had about it being a dream, they went on this long run where everyone was like comparing it to 2001 and holy cow, there's only 4 weeks left in the season. They have a bye week. And they're coming off the bye week, they have 4 games left in the season, and they got the number one seed. Oh, my God. Then they got Jacksonville and Miami, and they suck. Well, Miami hadn't won 7 games in a row yet. Jacksonville still sucked. And Indy was coming off a bye, and you still had to play Buffalo again. So you're your own worst enemy. Because I would say, stick with your guns. You thought they were this team from the very beginning.
I didn't think they were
this
that team.
This is what 10-6, 10-7 teams do. That's how they get to 10 wins.
They do that on Saturday?
No, well, I would say that's a whole nother discussion. That's a whole nother discussion.
Let's you guys vent. Let's go to Robert. Robert's out in Worcester. Go ahead, Robert. You're up.
Hey, Lou. I want to, you know, the last couple years, the reality is, you've been saying for a while now that they haven't had good drafts for like the last four or five years.
Until this
excluding the last draft.
Correct.
And that's exactly correct. And I don't know if that's because Bill was stubborn about who he picked, whatever. Okay. In this last year, he tried to make up for that by buying a bunch of free agents. Some of them hit, some of them missed.
Most hit.
You have to get guys in their prime, say 23 to 27 years old.
Yep.
The reality is they have a lot of guys that they have to replace. They have to replace Dante Hightower, Kyle Van Noy, on the line. McCourty. Yeah. They got about 6 or 7 holes on that team that they have to replace. And it goes back to what you said, is that they haven't drafted well in the last 4 or 5 years. And you can't just go spend a bunch of money on free agency and think you're going to make up for it. The only way to make up for it is through the draft, because you got to go young.
Yep.
And that's where they are right now.
Yep. And they had one good draft. Great call. Thanks, Robert. You're absolutely right. And you think about, like, honestly, that game is over. You tell me what's going through Robert Kraft's mind.
Oh, he probably sounds a lot like Jerry Jones.
No, but seriously.
Jerry Jones after the game.
You tell me, like, he's never given out as much money as he did this past season. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Ever. For what?
It was horrible.
Like, for what? You know, and we sat there, we said, like, so they spent $190 million. They might, we've been talking about, we'll get to it too, like linebackers. He's mentioned Hightower and how they're just slow, right, and everything else. So that's not the only issue you've got. You need new linebackers. You might need a new secondary. I don't know if you're going to franchise tag J.C. Jackson. McCourty might leave as well. Like, so it's like you just spent all that money, and all that money is usually spent to fill holes. Not to fill an entire roster where you still have holes, like a lot of them. Because defensively, this was supposed to be a good defense. When we all knew, when you looked at the numbers and you looked at the games, it was smoke and mirrors. They bullied bad football teams.
Okay, so again, good. That's what good teams are supposed to do to bad teams. It's not your fault that their development is slow or their roster sucks or they don't know how to build depth and on their practice squad. Not your problem. It's your problem to take advantage of it. So I'm going to go back to my original idea from you, okay, why everybody's kind of nutty right now, like changing their mind and changing their attitude. Like Tom Curran, like, dude, make up your mind. Like, what is it? Like, figure it out. So I say they are who we thought they were from the very beginning. They were. So
and we got them off the hook.
We talked to Rodney Harrison. We're having this discussion. I'm like, man, they look really slow. They're just slow. The linebackers look slow. I remember Rodney came on, and we asked him about it.
It doesn't seem like they're slow, and I love those guys. I have so much respect for those guys, but, yeah, they're slow.
They're slow. So, wait, so come on. Let's jump back into the delusional bubble that we created for ourselves when they went on a 7-game win streak.
Right.
Hold on. Wait, did Dante Hightower suddenly get fast? I don't think so. I don't think any of these guys suddenly became quicker than they were in week 10 than they were in week 5. No. They had an advantageous part of their schedule that they took advantage of. Okay, they took advantage, and then when they really mattered, and then they lost. Then they lost to a non-playoff team. The Colts aren't a playoff team. Okay, and they had one of their worst games, blocked punts, and yet they're still in position to win. They should have beat the Colts. Then they get smoked by Buffalo. Then they rebound against a Jacksonville team that was already bad. That was even worse because they had nobody on their roster, and then they get beat again. Okay, by the Dolphins. So I would say don't cloud your own judgment and your own reasons for why they were good in the first place. We all got sucked into the 7-week freaking, you know, donkey land that we were on.
But like I told you, I mean, we sort of sat there. I didn't get fully sucked in. We're still wondering like who they're playing and is it for real? And someone said, I'm contradicting myself because I'm discounting, the injuries that the Patriots had when I'm counting them during that 7-game stretch. And it's not true. I don't think Jalen Mills, I think you missing Jalen Mills defensively is not like the Titans missing Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and Julio Jones. It's not like the Cleveland Browns missing Nick Chubb. It's not like the Falcons missing Patterson and Ridley. It's not like the guys that you missed. You missed Jalen Mills, for God's sakes. What was the score would have been if you had Jalen Mills?
And Jonathan Jones. Don't forget him.
Jonathan Jones went out a long time ago. I mean, he went out week 5. What would 47-17. You got Jalen Mills. What's the score? 40-17? Maybe he forced a field
goal.
Yeah,
I don't think you need
43-17.
I don't think you need to make excuses for them, Lou.
No.
Like you can't
that team
sugarcoat
White.
This. It did not look like they were ready. It did not look like they were physically. It looks like they were sure. They're slow. Where's the attitude? Where's the hustle? Where's the fight? Where's the never give up?
Here's the other thing. At what point did they decide to play man defense again in the secondary? You know what's that?
I think we saw that Juwan Williams blown coverage on Emmanuel Sanders.
I thought Juwan Williams played that pass beautifully.
What?
Well, he was anticipating like them go for a first down. I mean, the tricky little bastards actually went for a touchdown instead. Like he had them if they were going to go right at the marker. Well, I mean, awful.
Where's my help? Oh, that's right. I'm going down the sideline.
Wait, we're not in zone?
No, we're not in zone, Juwan.
Who's coaching us?
That'd be Bill Belichick.
Last time I played, we were in zone.
I'm usually a healthy scratch. Why am I playing? I have one question. I thank you for the opportunity to play on your beautiful team, Mr. Crab, but I really shouldn't be playing right now because I suck.
Next question.
Let me go to one more call. I'll go to Mark. Mark in the car. Go ahead, Mark. What's up?
Yes, calling about the defense. Actually, I think we're looking in the wrong direction and maybe should not mention any names, but talk about the defensive coordinator. And this may have been a...
Who's that?
Similar to what we call a mutiny against the defensive coordinator. Because to lose that big with good players, something's up with the coaching. Again, just an opinion, but I heard a conspiracy theory that they want certain people out of that role. Not going to mention any names because it's someone's S-O-N.
Just mention a name. It's Steve. You talking about Belichick, his kid?
Yes. Apparently there's some...
Okay, but Mark, here's the thing. The defense sucks, and then the defense gets good again, and it's because Bill Belichick took over the defense. So when the defense sucks again, it's back on Steve?
Yeah, I can confirm that.
Okay, just checking.
Can you go to one real quick?
Yeah. Matt, one more call. Here we go before the break. Yeah, Matt, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, the defense was absolutely horrific, and I don't even want to talk about it because when I knew the game was over, like the caller you had a few minutes ago, was when they were down 14-0 and Josh McDaniels decides he wants to run the ball 3 times. You know you can't play from behind. I'm so sick of this dude's play calling. It's been bad all year. I hope he gets a head coach job somewhere and fails like he did with the Broncos. But it's awful. You know you can't play from behind, so you decide you're going to, run down the clock in the second quarter, down 2 touchdowns? It's abysmal.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it really is. And the better question you should be asking yourself, why did you decide to do it? And given the way Matt came out, even that first series, it's sort of like, Did you, because he threw that pick in the end zone, did you already lose trust in Mac Jones because he threw an interception? It's a beautiful play defensively, but you're absolutely right. Third and three, you run 2 yards. Damian Harris to create fourth and one. And you punt? Like at third and three, when you run the ball, don't you sit there and commit to like 2 runs to get a first down and you punt? Which is what I want to get to. I want to get to that too, that conservative approach, because that wasn't the only fourth down early on that I sat there and said, what are you doing? Do you want to win this game? Are you just trying to just not lose by 20 points? We'll discuss that, the conservative approach by the Patriots early on in this game. We'll do it next. Also, just letting you guys vent, 617-779-7937, right here on Maloney and Fourier. All right, welcome back to Maloney and Fourier. Going over this disaster of a game, the playoffs. What do you got over there for you? You want to throw something back at me?
Listen, I didn't check the math on this, so this is from the text line. Okay, the Patriots, and this is from 959. Never even heard of that area code. All right, so the Patriots improved by 3 games, Lou, which is an 18% increase in wins. In baseball terms, Lou, that is 32 games better. This is a successful season.
First off, they improved by 2.5 games.
That's 3 games. Well, then listen, they won three more games than they won last
there's
year.
There's absolutely no question in my mind.
I mean, that's a success.
Listen, I get it. Yeah, if the Red Sox spent $190 million in contracts and got absolutely and made a wild card, didn't even win the division.
Oh, that's happened.
And then lost by 3 games in their first series and got outscored like 35-2. In those 3 games, I'm sure everybody would be calling
even
that a
better.
Success
they
after spending
the
$190 million.
They would win the division and lose.
Do what the Patriots did. Make the wild card.
You wanted it to be all about the Red Sox. So, I mean, they just pick a season. It's comparable.
Red Sox had a more successful season than this team did. I mean,
this
I don't
year.
To say.
This year, they spent of course they did. Yeah.
Red Sox went out there and bought Garrett Richards. That was the highest paid free agent.
The first time in their whole century. Okay,
these guys
that they
spend $190 million. What did you think about the fourth down? We had a caller bring up the whole. Yeah, you know, you're down 14-0 after you come back and Mac throws a pick. They go right back down to score. You get the ball back. It's Harris for 5, Harris for 2, Harris for 2, punt. 4th and 1 on your 34. I get it. That's not your ideal spot. I am not a captain. Go for it on 4th down. But, I mean, at that point, once you go 3rd and 3, if you decide to run the football with Harris, you are pot committed. You are running it twice with Harris. You are going for it on 4th down. This conservative approach? And they come right back down, make it 20-0. And then the Patriots get the ball again. It's 4th and 8 at midfield, down 20-0. And they don't go for it again. It's not an easy get. I understand that. And then what do? They come right back down and make it 27-0, 44 plays later. I mean, 4th and 1, 4th and 8. You're getting your boobs ripped off. Yeah. You can't stop them.
Anybody.
Like, I don't understand it. Like, Mac Jones in the first drive looked pretty decent. I liked it. It was a beautiful pass. Great play by Hyde. You might say maybe it was too much air into the ball. I don't know, whatever. But I still, it was a beautiful pass. And they come out the next drive down 14-0, go Harris, 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 punt. 4th and 1? Like, what are you doing? And 4th and 8 at midfield down 20-0? Like, what are you doing? You're trying to, what, go into half down 20-0? To feel good about yourself?
It was easily identifiable. That they were going to have to, whatever philosophy they had going in the game, they needed to change. Sideline adjustment. You need to be more aggressive because you know that they're probably going to get points on every single possession. You didn't think it would be an actual touchdown. You thought maybe they'd slow them down and instead of touchdowns, it'd be a field goal. But hell, the worst thing to happen to their offense is that they missed an extra point. That's the worst thing that happened.
And they missed a couple, didn't they? Yeah, they missed 2. Yeah, that was it. It was the one thing they had from a perfect game. This guy, Michael Schwartz, he's an all-pro offensive lineman, tweets out, good for New England, still committing to establish the run. I can come back down 4 touchdowns if the run hasn't been fully established,
yeah.
He says in a tweet. He says, down by 30 in the fourth quarter of the playoffs, and you're running play action from 2 running back, 2 tight end set. I did not expect the New England's offense to remain this simplified and scared in the playoffs, he says.
Ooh.
But here we are. Not sure what changed during the season. Seemed like they trusted Mac at one point. Well, I think they did. You know, then maybe the 3 of the last 4 games scare him a little bit. I tell you, that pick in the end zone shouldn't have scared him off, should it?
I don't think it did.
Seems like it did.
I don't think it did. I tell you what did was the pick to start the second half when he again just obviously told everybody where the freaking ball was going when he tried to throw a quick little 5-yard stick route to Hunter Henry. And the linebacker didn't intercept it. It was tipped up in the air, and he got intercepted by one of the DBs. But another example of him just
being so obvious where he's going with the ball. It's too easy. It's become really, really easy to figure out where he's going with the ball. And guys break on it, and they get picks, they get turnovers, or they create turnovers. Like, that to me maybe is a bigger issue. The fact that they just, listen, you got to check the box off first. Got to make sure they throw the ball, that they establish the run.
All right, let's go to the calls. I want to get this on David, who's called in talking about this play calling. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. I argued with a friend of mine over whether Belichick's time's come or not, and I argued that, no, he's still great, but unfortunately, my buddy Kenny, I got to give him a shout-out. Belichick goes this conservative route on fourth and ones, fourth and eights. When you do that, the assumption is when you punt that your defense can make a stop. Unfortunately, in eight quarters of football against Buffalo in the last month, the defense has made zero stops. So it just totally blows my mind why, like, what's Belichick thinking about his defense? Does he not see what everyone else sees?
Yeah, and you know, that's a good point, David. And it's like Belichick's philosophy, let's face it, for a while, and it goes to like deferring the kickoff. You have an offense and a quarterback that you don't trust at the end of the half to push it. So what are you deferring? Just so you make sure you get the ball in the second half? Because you sure as hell aren't pushing it at the end of the first half. And again, you look back at this game, and this is one of the reasons why. It wasn't, you know, getting the ball first, Christian, wasn't going to guarantee you go down there and score. You know what I mean? But it was going to give you two possessions to their one just out of the gate. Just out of the gate. They come down, make it 7-0, pick 6, 14-0. Play the whole thing same way. I know it's what if, you can't really do it, but if he got the ball and went right down through a pick six in the end zone and they came down to make it 7-0, at least you got the ball again to try to answer that 7-0 score. You know what I mean? So they score in your two possessions, you throw an interception, it's 14-0, the game is over. You're going run, punt. Run, punt down 14-0. Like that sequence, and we had a couple callers, they are 100% correct. 14-0? Harris for 5, Harris for 2, Harris for 2, punt? What?
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. There's whether you defer or not, I don't think it mattered. Like, that wasn't the issue. So people are pointing to that. Like, at least you build some confidence. Maybe. I don't know. So you're telling me that the Buffalo Bills defense was going to play differently if they had to start on defense without the advantage of 7 points behind them? No. They would have been just as jacked up. They would have been, you would have screwed up just the same. I don't think it made any difference. I don't care what you did. You are not beating the Buffalo Bills on this day. Not even close. They were, what happened to all the, nobody's going to go to the games. Looked like that stadium was packed.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. A lot of things didn't go well for the Patriots. Bill Belichick, he was actually on the Greg Hill Show this morning. When we come back, we'll hear some of the things he had to say as far as talking about this game and why they just couldn't stop him. That's coming up next. You'll hear Bill Belichick on Maloney and Fourier.